Welcome to the Space Show here on 88.3 Southern FM, which is presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I am Andrew Rennie.
The Space Show, bringing the universe home to the Bayside, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Well, 55 years ago this evening, the Apollo 11 spacecraft was falling towards the Earth on its way home from mankind's first landing on the Moon. Earlier in the day, the three men had made two television broadcasts to an attentive worldwide audience. Well, at least worldwide to those parts that could receive live television. The crew spent most of this afternoon sleeping and will be awoken at 9 o'clock this evening for tomorrow morning's splashdown in the Pacific Ocean, which will be at 10 to 3. On this evening's The Space Show, we celebrate this 55th anniversary in song and poetry, some of it contemporaneous and some written in the half century since 1969 July. Our first piece is from Australia. It's composed by Glyn Lehman, and it's called Apollo 11 Homecoming, and it expresses the tension as the Apollo 11 astronauts leave the lunar surface for their risky journey back home to Earth. Daniel Kelly comes from Yass in New South Wales. He thinks that Neil Armstrong's one small step should serve as an inspiration to further explore the universe. He notes that it took 10 years to build the Saturn V rocket, but that was 50 years ago. He wrote this one small step in 2020.
Small step for man, come and follow if you can. We are opening a gateway to Mars. And although we risk our lives, we miss our sons and wives, we are building a ladder to the stars. In 1961, Johnny Kay had begun a long and painful journey to the moon. With the Russians there to beat, communism to defeat, victory it couldn't come too soon. It's one small step for man, come and follow if you can. We are opening the gateway to Mars. And although we risk our lives, we miss daughters and wives, we are building a ladder to the stars. Took 10 years of sweat and tears by 100 engineers till the Tower of Flame was ready for the launch. Three brave and reckless men strapped atop in a small can were ready with their courage staunch. It's one small step for man, come and follow if you can. We are opening a gateway to Mars. Although we risk our lives and oh we miss our wives, we are building a ladder to the stars. It was 50 years ago humanity came to know that our race was destined to be free. But instead, through fear and hate, we have left it all too late to meet our future in the galaxy. It's one small step for man, come and follow if you can. We are opening a gateway to Mars. Although we risk our lives and we miss our sons and wives, we are building a ladder to the stars. We are building a ladder to the stars.
That's Daniel Kelly, One Small Step. And now we have a poem written by Percy Bysshe Shelley. I don't know who the reader is, but it is simply called To the Moon.
Art thou pale for weariness of climbing heaven and gazing on the earth, wandering companionless among the stars that have a different birth, and ever-changing, like a joyless eye that finds no object worth its constancy?
As I said, Percy Bysshe Shelley, To the Moon. And now we're going to hear a poem by Patrick Lewis.
First Moon Landing by J. Patrick Lewis. Two high flyers, Buzz and Neil, said they couldn't wait to feel just what kind of moon it was. Take a look around, said Buzz. Open the hatch and out the door, down the ladder to the moonlit floor. After he had sunk his heel into the dusty ocean, Neil knew what a lovely moon it was. One small step, said Neil to Buzz.
And our next song is also called One Small Step. And this is about the bravery of Neil Armstrong as he took that one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. This is by Kraken Not Stirred, and they come from Canada, and they recorded this in 2019 for the 50th anniversary of the landing. Remember, this is now the 55th anniversary, and this is off a CD that I bought from Canada. So let's try Kraken Not Stirred now.
Subject to fits and causal tides, muse for works of
From Canada, that was Kraken Not Stirred, One Small Step. Yes, the small step is Neil Armstrong's small step onto the moon, 55 years ago. Now, we're going to have a poem by... No, actually, that's not a poem. It's a comedy compilation of songs with an interview, in inverted commas, interview with Neil Armstrong. And it's called Lunar Landing. And it's by John Ford, and this comes from 1969. Yes, the very year of that moon landing. Here is John Ford.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Hardy. They did it. Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Edmund Aldrin have landed safely from their trip to the moon. Here they come now. I'll get an interview with one of them. Now, tell me, sir, it must have been breathtaking to see the Earth from the moon. How would you tell the audience what you thought as you looked back on our world?
On 500 miles away from home.
Well, tell me, they said that you had a peculiar way to ward off the meteor showers on the moon. Said you muttered something up at the stars. Could this have been some sort of earthly voodoo, or what did you say?
Be careful of stones that you throw.
Well, let's go back to the time when you were moving away from the Earth. What was the main thing you were doing during this period?
Watching my world walk away.
It has been rumored that a moon creature talked to you while you were up there. What did that moon creature say?
I am the real It was also rumored that you and this female moon creature got kind of cozy. What were you doing anyway?
Meeting in smoky places.
Well, being a moon creature, wasn't she kind of ugly?
Be glad you've got what you've got when you've got it.
I guess that's true. Beggars can't be choosers. Well, what was your favorite pastime while on the moon?
Running bad.
Yes, and I heard you got caught. Where did they put you?
Solitary.
Well, I'm glad to see that you got out of it okay anyway. I'm running out of time, but I did have one more question to ask. Since you found life and music and people on the moon, you know, here on Earth there's country music and rock and roll music and other types of music, but what's the most popular music on the moon?
Beer drinking music.
That's good. Listen, I understand now that you're back, y'all would undergo weeks of isolation and debriefing. Is there anything you would like to say about this?
The easy part's over now.
Okay, and before I go, is there anyone you would like to say hi to?
Hi there, Bobby Taylor, you son of a gun.
Well, that's about all we have time for today. We would like to say that it's been very nice talking to...
Wait,
would you give me the microphone back? Hey!
Mr. Baker? I need your shoes, yes. Why'd you sell the guns?
You've got to love those breaking songs. And remember, unlike today when you can just do it in a few seconds in the computer, you had to do a lot of tape cutting and splicing to get that done. Well, now, let's go on to another One Small Step. This is by Valerie Ritchie and Sandra Greenberg. It's a concert performance, and yes, Sandra Greenberg and Barry Greenberg wrote this in 2015.
Stepping, leaping, reaching, dreaming. Stepping, leaping, reaching, dreaming. Stepping, leaping, reaching, dreaming. Stepping, leaping, reaching, dreaming.
One giant leap to gain our first foothold. With a goal of reaching far beyond the confines of this world, and a dream which must continue to unfold.
Stirring, proving, rousing, leading. Stirring, proving, rousing, leading. Stirring,
small steps,
leading.
We knew the price to pay. One giant leap to prove that we could stay. Every generation after looks to you to be inspired. Following the groundwork that you laid, we stand upon the giants who have come before.
Grateful to those visionaries opening the door.
Mercury to Apollo, to the shuttles and beyond.
Reaching higher because of the shoulders we stand on. Launching, soaring, learning, roaming. Launching, soaring, learning, roaming.
Launching, soaring,
studying, roaming.
Far away from home,
learning, roaming.
Watching giant leap through, soar outside our door. From the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk to our landing on the moon. In another 100 years, think how far we'll roam. In 1,000 years, how far
we have roamed.
One small step.
This is the Space Show.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside,
where we are celebrating the 55th anniversary of first human landing on the moon. Now, to have a clear recollection of the first moonwalk, a person would have to have been about 7 years old in 1969. Today, that person would have to be over 60 years of age. United Kingdom poet Stuart Atkinson says he was not quite 5 years old, but he doesn't know whether his recollections of Apollo 11 are original or second-hand. And remember that first moonwalk began before 3 a.m. in the United Kingdom. Perhaps his parents allowed him to stay up until the walk ended after 5 a.m. Well, in 2009, on the 40th anniversary, Atkinson wrote this.
Memories of Apollo, by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2009, July 14th. Did I see it? I really don't know. I hope so. I have vague memories of lying on the floor, barely awake, staring at a flickering screen as Armstrong, little more than a kaleidoscopic chaos of white and grey, made his way down the ladder and stepped onto the moon. But are my recollections real? I was not quite 5 years old when Eagle folded her gold foil wings and nested in Tranquility's dust, so was I actually in bed, fast asleep, unaware that downstairs history was streaming through our TV? Did I doze and dream through the first man's speech? Did I miss him reaching out to plant that famous flag in Luna's unforgiving dirt? Worse, did I snore quietly through the whole bold adventure? I asked my mother, did I really watch him walk upon the moon? But her memories of that day are cobwebbed, incomplete, and she can shine no maternal spotlight on the mystery, leaving me to wonder if my memories are real or merely replays of replays shown on TV in the years that followed man's shameful lunar retreat. Perhaps, then, I didn't see that one small step live. Perhaps I am merely remembering watching Bean, Schmidt and Scott happily lolloping happily along, and not Armstrong. I know for a fact I watched later moonwalks live. Those memories are sharp as fresh chipped flint and clear as glass. At school, my chattering class herded en masse into the big hall to worship before the big TV, sitting, knees together, in obedient rows on the cold wooden floor, being told, this is important, pay attention, one day this will all be history. Of course, soon all my classmates' eyes had drifted from the screen, their magpie minds distracted by something else they'd seen, but my eyes lingered on the grainy scenes. Something in me did not want to look away, could not be made to look away, and it was on those long days, I see now, that my life was shaped. But still I wonder, did I really fight sleep to see Armstrong walking on the moon? Or well, was it just too soon?
Well, here in Australia, of course, that moonwalk was in the afternoon. On the front page of the New York Times of 1969, July 21, which in American time was the day after Apollo 11 landed on the moon, a poem was published by Archibald MacLeish. It was called Voyage to the Moon. Well, here is a recording for the Harvard Law School with music of that poem.
Presence among us, wanderer in our skies, dazzle of silver in our leaves and on our water silver. Oh, silver evasion in our farthest thought, the visiting moon, the glimpses of the moon, and we have touched you. From the first of time, before the first of time, before the first men tasted time, we thought of you. You were a wonder to us, unattainable, a longing past the reach of longing, a light beyond our light, our lives, perhaps a meaning to us. Now, Our hands have touched you in the depth of night. 3 days and three nights we journeyed, steered by farthest stars, climbed outward, crossed the invisible tide rip where the floating dust falls one way or the other on the void between, followed that other down, encountered cold, faced death, unfathomable emptiness. Now, the fourth day evening, we descend, make fast, set foot at last upon your beaches, sift between our fingers your cold sand. We stand here in the sand, the cold, the silence, and here, as at the first of time, we lift our heads. Over us, more beautiful than the moon, a wonder to us, unattainable, a longing past the reach of longing, a light beyond our light, our lives, perhaps a meaning to us, oh, a meaning. Over us, on these silent beaches, the bright earth, presence among us.
That poem by Archibald MacLeish. Mae Swenson is also a poet from America, and she wrote this poem called First Walk on the Moon. Ahead, the sun's face in a flaring hood was wearing the moon, a mask of shadow that stood between cloudy earth, waned, gibbous, while our target grew, an occult bloom, until it lay beneath the fabricated insect we flew. Pitched out of orbit, we yawed in to impact softly on that circle. Not ground, the footpads found for traction. So far, we haven't the name, so call it terrain, pitted and pocked to the round horizon, which looked too near, a slope of rubble where protuberant cones, dish-shaped hollows, great sockets glared, half-blind with shadow, and smaller sucked-in folds squinted like blowholes on a scape of whales. Rigid and pneumatic we emerged, white twin uniforms of the dark Mara, heads transparent spheres, the outer visors gold. The light was glacier bright, our shadows long, thin fissures of ink. We felt neither hot nor cold. Our boot clates sank into grit, something like glass, but sticky. Our tracks remain on what was virgin soil. But that's not the name. That's by Mae Swenson. Now, Elizabeth Alexander also comes from the United States. She's an African-American, and she describes how an African-American braves a roadhouse during the Apollo 11 moonwalk. This description is simply called
Apollo by Elizabeth Alexander. We pull off to a road shack in Massachusetts to watch men walk on the moon. We did the same thing for 3-2-1 blastoff, and now we watch the same men bounce in and out of craters. I want a Coke and a hamburger. Because the men are walking on the moon, which is now irrefutably not green, not cheese, not a shiny dime floating in a cold blue, the way I'd thought, the Road Shack people don't notice we are a black family, not from there, the way it mostly goes. This talking through static, bounces in space boots, tethered to cords, is much stranger, stranger even than we are.
That was by Elizabeth Alexander. Now, we're going to go back to Kraken Not Stirred. As I said, they came from Canada, and they did a whole CD about the Apollo missions. And the intro to this says that during the Apollo lunar landing missions, three astronauts flew to the moon. Two landed on the near side of the moon, and one remained orbiting the moon in the command module. As the astronaut passed around the lunar far side, he was out of contact with both his fellow moonwalkers and with the Earth. As such, these six men have been described as the loneliest astronauts. The song, then, is about... Do you know the names of those six astronauts? Yes, 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 all right. Okay, I might help you then. This song is about Michael Collins, Richard Gordon, Stuart Roosa, Alfred Warden, Ken Mattingly, and Ronald Evans. Here is Kraken Not Stirred with the Loneliest Astronaut.
Thank you. far away as the moon and look back on the Earth certainly does affect your perspective. When you see it tiny as your thumbnail held out in front of you at arm's length, that sort of gets your attention. A beautiful sight. Tiny, pristine, blue and white, a very fragile-looking object out there in the velvet of space. It does change your perspective. It makes you think that we have to take better care of this little fragile entity because it is fragile.
3 billion plus two outside of your steel cocoon. Plus God knows what, as he flies behind the moon. Everyone who ever lived, obstructed by a stone. Out of sight and out of contact, truly alone. The loneliest astronauts.
Fading off into the distance there, Kraken Not Stirred. They come from Canada, and in 2019 they recorded that song about the loneliest astronaut. And we have more about one of those loneliest astronauts coming up.
Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.
Well, you're listening to The Space Show, celebrating the 55th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission. We heard about the loneliest astronaut, and one of them was Michael Collins. Here's a song from 2013 by a group called The Boy Least Likely. And I don't think they're referring to Michael Collins, but the song is called Michael Collins.
It's lonely. The universe sitting looking up from planet Earth. It's funny how
gonna seem commonplace, but they look beautiful from outer space. On the far side of the moon, the minutes quietly ticking by, looking through old photographs and listening.
When the mask of night there shone that cut, we were riddled. A probe reached down and stroked some nerve in us, as if the glint from a wizard's eye of silver slanted out of the mask of the unknown, pit of riddles, the scratch-marked sky. When albino bowl on cloth of jet, it spilled its virile rays, our eyes enlarged, our blood reared with the waves. We craved its secret, but unreachable, it held away from us, chilly and frail. Distance kept its magnet, enigma made it white. When we learned to read it with our rod, reflected light revealed a lead mirror, a bruised shield, scanned with scars and shadow soiled. A half-faced sycophant, its glitter burrowed, rode around our throne. On the moon there shines earthlight, as moonlight shines on the earth. If on its obsidian we set our weightless foot, and sniff no wind, and lick no rain, and feed no gauze between us and the fire, we will trot its grassless skull, sick for the home-like shade. Naked to the earth beam we will be, who have arrived to map its apparition, who walk upon the forehead of a myth. Can flesh rub with symbol? In our ball of iron and not light, our earliest wish eclipses. Dare we land upon a dream? That was Mae Swenson's Landing on the Moon. Our next is written by Liz Au.
Dr. Rendezvous takes communion on the moon. Buzz Aldrin, Apollo 11, July 1969. Later, the fire of re-entry. Later, depression medicated by drinking. Later, sobriety, therapy, the final wrestling free from the prison of a hard father's surveilling regard. Later still, past 70, a left hook to lay flat out a moon hoax conspiracy theorist who called him a liar, a coward. Instead of test pilot school, he chose the doctoral dissertation on rendezvous techniques for manned orbiting vehicles, earning the nickname, one part admiration, one part the cocksure bully's jab at any egghead. But when he solved the unsolvable problem of Gemini's required spacewalk, not with brute force or test pilot bravado, but with a scientist's cold, slow methodology, he found a place in that uneasy brotherhood. After the landing, before the one small step, he pulled from his pocket the tiny chalice, the vial, the slender wafer, spoke reverent words about the vine and the fruit, drank and ate the Blessed Sacrament. Where most others saw, could only see, two hopelessly separate and reeling vessels, he knew enough of both math and mystery, of both faith and reason, to work out a slender algorithmic prayer to guide them into alignment, to devise the rendezvous required.
In the late 1980s, a work colleague came to me and asked me about a story he had read about Neil Armstrong. My colleague wanted to know if it was true. Remember, this was a time before Google, Answers, and other search engines. But I did have a complete transcript on paper of the communications between Apollo 11 and ground control. I told my colleague I had never heard this yarn, but I would check. At home that night, I carefully read the transcript and could find no evidence that Neil Armstrong had ever said what he was alleged to have remarked. Next day, I was able to tell my colleague that Neil never, I repeat, never said, "Good luck, Mr. Gorsky." Well, years later, United States singer Michael Longcore put this fable to song.
This is a little supposedly true story. There seems to be some debate about that. But if it's not true, it should have been true.
Good luck, Mr. Gorsky. I hope it all went well. Good luck, Mr. Gorsky. It shows you just can't tell. It was 1969 when Armstrong met the lunar test. That's one small step for a man, he said, and you all know the rest. But then he muttered something else, and millions of us heard. He said, "Good luck, Mr. Gorsky," and we puzzled at his words. Good luck, Mr. Gorsky, I hope it all went well. Good luck, Mr. Gorsky, it shows you just can't tell. Flash to 1938, a little Midwest town. Two kids are playing baseball as the sun is going down. The pitch is made, the bat connects, away the ball does soar and rolls beneath the window of the Gorsky's house next door. Good luck, Mr. Gorsky, I hope it all went well. Good luck, Mr. Gorsky, it shows you just can't tell. The pitcher runs to get the ball. He tries not to be seen. When Mrs. Gorsky's voice comes booming through the window screen, she yells at Mr. Gorsky so that half the block can hear.
Sex? You want sex? You'll get sex when the kid next door walks on the moon.
And young Neil Armstrong runs back home while grinning ear to ear. And good luck, Mr. Gorsky, I hope it all went well. Good luck, Mr. Gorsky, it shows you just can't tell.
And I can assure you...
It really is okay to laugh at the funny parts.
I can assure you that that story is just not true. Well, we've been celebrating Apollo 11, 55 years. This is the Space Show.